current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, May 8th, 2020. Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, I'm Greg Hill. Thanks for taking an hour out of your time, whether you're listening live right now on May 8th or you're listening to episode 124 on many ways that you can get this podcast. We appreciate your time and tuning in. We have got a lot of stuff to get to, and yeah. Pastor Mark, are we ready to go?
We are ready to rock and roll.
Because we've got,
you've got mail.
A very interesting, maybe not a listener question, but a listener observation, as by one of our listeners, Brian. And this really kind of opened up the prophetic Pandora's box, if you will, for our Friday broadcast. And you're going to understand why as we dive into this. What Brian sent us is he titled this a patent, and it was like a patent that was applied for on March 26th of this year by Microsoft. The patent is for digital cryptocurrency technology. The cryptocurrency patent ends in some interesting numbers, which Pastor Mark will share with us, and share with us exactly the extent of this patent. And it's a play off of, and if you follow technology at all, it's part of what's called the blockchain technology. And basically, that's how cryptocurrency gets created, is through something called blockchain technology. So if you're familiar with blockchain technology, you're familiar with cryptocurrency. I'm sure everyone's heard of cryptocurrency, but may not know the engine behind it.
Bitcoin. So they know.
Bitcoin is like
part of the cryptocurrency.
Is a cryptocurrency.
Yeah, I just wanted to connect
the two. Exactly. It's almost like all the different currencies of the world that are out there that we've known over time, the mark, the franc, the Canadian dollar,
it's
the peso.
It's that chocolate
all
candy
stuff
you can eat.
Exactly. Yeah. What?
Bitcoin?
No.
Sorry.
No, it'll break your teeth.
Okay. Well, that's chocolate candy. Remember the kind?
Yes, I know.
That
are wrapped in the fake gold.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. Oh, my word.
Sorry, we got sidetracked. Let's get back on.
It's like wax with sugar in it.
Yes.
Anyway, this really kind of opened up some interesting, some research on your part, Pastor Mark.
Yes.
And so why don't you, do you want me to read the summary of this?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes.
This is the summary of the patent submission that was made. Human body activity associated with a task provided to a user may be used in a mining process of a cryptocurrency system. A server may provide a task to a device of a user which is communicatively coupled to the server. A sensor communicatively coupled to or comprised in the device of the user may sense body activity of the user. Body activity data may be generated based on the sensed body activity of the user. The cryptocurrency system communicatively coupled to the device of the user may verify if the body activity data satisfies one or more conditions set by the cryptocurrency system and award cryptocurrency to the user whose body activity data is verified.
Yeah, let's break that down in just very easy language. That is basically something that can read your body, and from that, it tells everywhere you're going, everything you're doing. You can buy and sell with it. You can communicate with it. It basically is, as what we look for in Scripture, we talk about the mark in Revelation 13. We'll get to more of that in a moment, but that's the idea, so they understand, you know, how it registers. But right. I wanted to say, first of all, you know, I've been seeing these articles out there about this. We talked a little bit over the last few weeks about Bill Gates. Those of you that have been with us, listening,
over the last month, at least.
Yeah, we've been talking about Bill Gates and his desire. Bill Gates has been desiring since the 80s to have everyone in the world have a digital number that could mark them. And there's all kinds of excuses they give why. It's so that you can always be identified if you don't have your papers. If there's some type of way to communicate to the world as a whole or whatever, you can do that. It's a way of tracking people. There's all these things that there's ways that can sound really great. In one way, and then there's ways that can be horrible because of privacy, and so all those things are being addressed and et cetera. But we've been talking about it and watching with the noting that the technology of the mark of the beast. It says in Revelation chapter 13, and I'll just read that for us. It's kind of the beginning of this. It says that the Antichrist causes both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave. He makes them notice this. It's no choice. To receive a mark on their right hand or their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except he who has the mark or the name of the beast for the number and the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. Now, again, so we all know about the mark. Even unbelievers probably have heard about 666. So Brian's letter that he wrote us here, again, goes right in line of what we've been talking about, but he brings up something very good that I did some research on today, and just things start exploding for me on this. It's just so really cool. So I appreciate the email and the question, and I do think he's onto something. You know, is this the technology for the Antichrist? I assume is kind of the question behind this digital cryptocurrency technology. And, you know, we see a lot of things that tell us about the coming mark of the beast and all that's going to be involved with that. And I've seen that stuff over the years, but I really believe that today is truly, this is a major, I think, monumental moment in prophecy, in the fact that I believe this indeed, and I'll tell you why I believe that in a moment. I believe this is the actual technology for the mark of the beast. Now, we've known for a long time it was going to be digital. We've talked about that. Everyone knew it was coming. That's not new. But I believe this patent that Microsoft just got is very likely the patent that will lead to the actual mark of the beast. And I want to just make one quick correction, because he did get the patent approved, Greg, on the 26th of March, but the patent was actually applied for on June 20th of 2019.
Oh, okay.
Just in case somebody's checking their, you
gotcha.
Know, I happen to have it right
it
here.
Been, that is an approved patent.
Yeah, it was put in. It was approved on the 26th or whatever. So he's got his patent now, as far as that goes, internationally anyway. And it, when it went to international, was it put in first on June of 2019, June 20th. But there's so many things that make this amazing. And the reason being is we've always known that the mark was going to come. What would it be? I really think we have in our hands the mark of the beast. I think we're seeing what it's going to be. And I think this is more than just hype. And I'll explain why as we talk through this. And we definitely take the first half of the show and maybe beyond if we need to for this. But this is truly amazing what's happening here, and to see all this thing come together. Now, let me back up before I even get to this and say, kind of setting the stage. If you look at what's been happening with the coronavirus, you know, we've been talking a long time, the world has, about getting rid of cash and using digital because it's so much cleaner. You can monitor people. You can keep up with everything. I mean, the advantage to having digital cash, you can go shopping without needing to have, you know, money with you. You can do your bank transactions, all this kind of stuff. And it's moved to iPhones, you know, and probably Androids too. Greg, you've got an Android. Can you buy things now with your Android?
No, I've got an iPhone.
Okay, that's right. You had an Android. When you had an Android, could you use it? I know not for Apple Pay, but
Samsung Pay.
Okay,
same thing.
Okay.
Yes.
So it was
absolutely.
In both formats.
Things, yes.
Okay. Either way, we're kind of getting used to it. We know that it's there, and it's something that, you know, we go, yeah, not everybody wants to use it, and it's kind of interesting. That's kind of the intermediary step, I believe, leading into the mark of the beast. And it's interesting, even with this coronavirus, you know, Greg, what I've noticed, and my daughters told me this, they go to all the coffee shops around. The coffee shops, not Starbucks, they still take cash, but they like to go to the non-Starbucks coffee shops. And in the non-Starbucks coffee shops, they don't take cash anymore, the ones they go to. They will only take digital currency. That is, you got to use a card with the chip on it, or you've got to use your, you know, whatever. They won't take cash because they're worried about spreading the virus, giving money back and forth with the virus. So it actually adds another layer of, you know what, a way we can protect ourselves, if you will, with this. So we see it coming. We know it's coming. But why this to me is a major moment in prophecy history, this patent being approved here, is the patent number on this. Now, I want to, again, let me just say, first of all, when you see this, you got to realize, I don't know how many years patents have been going along. I meant to Google that right before the show started. We got so excited.
We're talking about international patents.
Yeah,
at this
how
point.
Long has yes. been going on? We don't know. These international patent numbers, but they assign these numbers. And you have a patent number. Now, the technology of this, understand how this works. You know, you read it, Greg, but let me lay it out kind of in a straightforward, more simplified way if I can. You have a sensor with you and a device that reads that sensor. And then it sends the information to a communication network. By the way, I got this printed off of the International Bureau website, a copy of this from
the diagram for the patent to explain the patent
yes,
in a diagram
from Microsoft's,
form.
Yes, from Microsoft's patent. It goes to a communication network, then to the cryptocurrency where you would use it to buy and sell. So you have to have on you something that is a sensor or with you, just with you. Doesn't have to be on you at this point. Then a device reads it, sends it to a big communication network of computers, massive computer network that then makes it read to all your banks and all your, you know, the government and everything else you need to use it for. And over in Britain right now, they already have assigned numbers for everyone in Britain. You have to have a digital number assignment if you live in Britain. It's a card they give you as you become, if you're a citizen. It's got your number on it, and it's how they do all their, it's basically this, that would be the sensor. All right. That sensor then is read by an iPhone. Right now, the user device is an iPhone. Then it then goes to the computer system. And then at that point, complete your transaction. And so the dilemma they're having is how to make this more user friendly and how to get everybody in the world to do it. Now, let's talk a little bit about the Bill Gates Society. Bill Gates has been trying since the 80s to get this digital marking for everyone on the planet, as we talked about, to get everybody. And we've talked about that the last couple of weeks. Part of his idea is, how are we going to get this to the whole world? How's the world going to go along, and how do we get this in everybody? And now they're using the coronavirus as a possible opportunity. And that is what Bill Gates is saying is, why don't we? And they just had their ID 2020 conference. I went and watched a couple of the videos today to kind of get a feel for what it's really, really amazing and creepy, because it lines up with the Revelation so much. But they're wanting to use the coronavirus to give a shot for everyone to have to get this virus shot so we can go back to normal life. And in the shot, a digital tattoo that would be used for the sensor, if you will, that would go to your phone and would go to this community network, et cetera. Now, let me just say right off the bat, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to succeed in that. He's going to try to do it. Maybe the new generation, somebody, all the tech guys will love it. They'll want to do it. But I think there's going to be a big enough opposition, especially with Americans, that in this first go around, that won't happen. The shot may be pushed, but yeah. As far as getting that mark, you know, whatever. And let me just say this, too. I don't believe this would be the mark of the beast, because the mark of the beast will be given, that actual shot that has the, you know, the tattoo in it would be given by the Microsoft, be given by the World Health Organization, but Microsoft pushing that, and it would be in the arm. It probably wouldn't be in the hand or the forehead. And again, we know that's going to be given by the Antichrist, but it is the technology for that. So if you're worried about that, first of all, I don't think you're going to be forced to take it. But number two, even if somebody took it, you know, we're talking, what if you're unconscious, you're in an accident, and they're giving everybody this thing, you're going to wake up and you've had that shot. Doesn't mean you have the mark of the beast. That's going to come by the Antichrist on the hand or the forehead. But this is the technology, Greg, I think they're going to use to do it. And you know, it's interesting. They were talking about, for privacy's sake, we need to have control of it. And they're saying it needs to be somehow contained with us so that nobody can get our marker or they can abuse it. And they didn't come out and say it, but how else can you do that and have it with you at all times, but have it embedded in somewhere in your body?
Right. Well, it's not just that, but it's the blockchain technology that's behind it that I was sharing with you before the program that makes it almost foolproof to be defrauded.
Yes.
The way blockchain technology works, which we don't have time, nor do we have the brain power to really explain it to you, but just trust us.
Right.
It's really, really tight.
Right. And even as you see the technology now, if you walk through Walmart, they have a little camera on your face or whatever.
Yes.
What this device is going to be able to do is it would be able to read a mark in your forehead from those cameras. It'll pick it up Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, to your phone, to the communication network, to the cryptocurrency system. So you scan your hand, and or you could even do facial recognition. So the technology is in place for this. So now here's what's amazing about this, though. First of all, we should all just be shocked that he wants everybody to get this digital marking. That right there shows you that we're on the way. But this is the thing that really got my attention. The patent number on this, and again, a lot of these things you think, oh, conspiracy theory. But I want you to think about something. There's a lot of patents over a long time that have been gotten. It has to be the right technology with the right number, okay? The patent number for this, you guessed it, is 060606. Now, Somebody had to be 06, 06, 05. Somebody had to be 06, 06, 07 out of all these years of patents internationally. It just so happens that Bill Gates and Microsoft got 06, 06, 06 for this technology that works off of a sensor and the way your body operates that we all will have with us that goes to a device like an iPhone and then to the communication center to create your crypto currency system so that not only buying and selling, but this would also be used for health records, everything in your life. It is the technology and literally comes with the number 666. Now, you might say, wait a minute. This is what really is amazing about this. It's not really the number 666. It's the number 060606. Now, here's where it gets really exciting and interesting. You know, the Lord
still
said
six digits.
It is. That's right. Six digits. But the Lord said the church will know what's going on, but the world won't. Now, the world's going to hear the church saying this kind of stuff. And they're going to say,
Scoffers, mockers.
Yeah. Said, That's not 666. Yeah, yeah. It's 060606. And I know it's got it in there, but yeah, if you're trying to stretch it, it's not literally 666. Okay, I get it. But what's amazing about this is that got me thinking. And I started thinking, wait a minute. Okay, what is zero in Hebrew? And why do I say in Hebrew? Let me stop for a moment and back up.
Yeah,
look, when the rapture of the church takes place, we're out of here. The Bible says God will pour his spirit out on the Jews, and we leave at the beginning of Revelation 4 is where you see the church raptured. John's called up, and the reason I believe that's where the rapture is not only is John called up at the sound of a trumpet or the sound of a voice, and the Lord says, come up here into heaven. After that, from that point on, up to through chapter 4, the Messiah is referred to in Gentile terms. But from chapter 4, after he calls John up to heaven for the vision, from chapter 4 all the way till the end when the Lord comes back in the second coming, it only uses Jewish references to the Messiah. The whole time, there's not one Gentile reference to the Messiah. It's all Jewish references to the Messiah during that block of Scripture. Then the Gentile references of the Messiah begin again at his second coming. Okay?
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
But it gets better.
And what God is showing us is the church is taken out of here, and then God's going to be dealing primarily with the Jews. They'll be getting saved. Remember, initially 144,000 right off the bat. Multitudes
getting
saved. It's a
revival. Yes. Yes.
Now, there'll be Gentiles saved during that time, but it'll be the majority initially, almost all Jews. Boom. He's going to pour spirit out, and they're going to know
Christ.
They'll
be like the world evangelizers,
right?
They
will be. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Now, here's the thing. The New Testament's written in Greek. We all know that. And we're big proponents about going back to the original so we know what it says. And so we should be when it comes to Bible study. But what hit me today was those that will be reading their Bibles after the rapture, especially initially the Jews, and reading about the mark of the beast and all these things, because they're going to be reading what's going to happen, what's going on as God opens their eyes. They're going to be reading Hebrew Bibles. How do we know that? They're Hebrews. They're Jews. Now, Gentiles will get saved, as we said. They'll be having their regular Bibles. But the mass at the beginning, the huge masses are going to be all Jews. They read Hebrew Bibles. That's what they read. They don't read Greek Bibles. They don't read English Bibles. They read Hebrew Bibles. So I got to thinking, okay, great. It's 06, 06, 06. Well, it says here in this chapter that the number is going to be 666. It doesn't mean it couldn't have the zero in there. You could technically, maybe it could. But I thought, what is the O? What is the zero? What is the number zero in Hebrew? Now, those of you that know anything about Hebrew numbering system, their numbers line up with their alphabet. And when I looked up the Hebrew number, guess what? For zero, they have no Hebrew number. It doesn't exist. They do for all the others. They don't for zero. I don't know why.
Are you talking about a Hebrew number or Hebrew word for it?
They don't have either. There's the zero, but there's no word. There's no numerical. It's just like non-existent.
Gotcha.
In other words, it's not there. If you look at it in their numbering system, it just doesn't show up. It's not there. So you say, well, how do they say... if somebody says, hey, how many,
or something.
Well, yeah, how many dogs are in the backyard? How do I answer them? None. Well, they use the word no or none. And it's the word Efez, I think, in the Hebrew. I have to look that up again. But they literally use a word just to say none or zero. That's it. But when they do their numbers, there is no zero. They can't put them in there. It doesn't exist. Okay. There's nothing for it. Just a dash is when you read their chart. Which means when you read the Hebrew Bible that they'll be reading after the rapture and we're gone out of here, not only will it say 666 in Revelation 13, but they're going to recognize that that number that is used for this worldwide mark that this leader now is trying to make everybody this patent and this number
they
is going to be
the zeros.
It's literally going to be 666 from the patent to take this mark that Microsoft now has gotten the patent on just this last March 26th, that they're now approved on. And note this, It is based off of a sensor you will have with you that is read by something else. Right now, the sensor will be the iPhone. The sensor and the user device will be the iPhone. Or in Britain, it's a card. It could be a card. They're talking, though, about using the iPhone right now, because right now they're using the iPhone, Greg, to show who's had the coronavirus, who hadn't in other countries. They said that they're going to try to do that here so that when vaccines start, they can say, you've had the vaccine, you hadn't, and you literally, there's an app. You'll be able to walk down the road, and if I pass by you and you had not had your vaccine, my app would say, you're within so many feet of someone who's not been inoculated for coronavirus. I could go this way and get away from you. It's literally going to warn us. So you already see the user device technology there going. What's going to make it work is a mark that's in the hand or the forehead. That's where they're going to come to. That's what this is leading to as a conclusion. And literally, I believe, because of the patent number being 666, I believe God has revealed to us that this is going to be the actual patent and technology that the Antichrist is going to use. I know I could be wrong, but I think, what are the odds? What are the odds of them getting the patent number 060606 for this technology that requires a sensor to be read for a cryptocurrency system that will do physical and financial in everything you need around the world? I think, Greg, we're on it. I really believe this is that cryptocurrency symbol that's going to lead into where the Antichrist is going to come on the scene and make everybody take it. Now, obviously, people are thinking right now, I want to kind of back up and cover, you know, what about this, you know, if they give the corona shot. And I believe when they give the shot,
you're talking about this digital tattoo thing that
I want to get back to that so people don't panic. Look, first of all, I would say this. I'm not going to ever take anything that's got a digital marking in it. I'm just not going to do that. And whatever that means, I feel safer that way. And I think that all of us need to say, you know what, we're not going to go that route. But let me say this. Even if you were to take that tattoo, I do not believe that's the mark of the beast, because it has to be given by this world leader, the Bible says. It has to be forced. You won't have a choice. And it has to be in the hand or the forehead. I just think the technology could be injected in someone, but not really be the mark yet, if you will. But I still wouldn't feel comfortable taking it.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is, when you say this kind of thing, you're going to have people that go, well, what happens if I get raptured and my kids aren't saved, and then my grandkids, and they make them all take this shot that has a tattoo? Are they going to be taking the mark? The answer is no. I don't believe so. And anything that is so important, Greg, that is going to be determine your eternal future,
yeah,
God's going to make that known. You will know you're doing something that's going to take your eternal future. So I think you're going to see the church wake up to this.
Yeah.
We're going to recognize this as the mark. I think the world's going to hear that we recognize it as the mark. Some will mock us. They'll make fun of us, but they'll know about it, which means if you take it, you may be making fun of it, but you know you've been warned, and now you better not take it. The church will know, I'm not taking it. We're not going to take it. But this is leading into, I believe, a strong encouragement to take this digital tattoo, but won't be forced, into the next phase, where when this world leader comes on the scene, you will have to take the tattoo or the mark in the hand of the forehead.
Well, we can take a couple of things to heart in a comforting way. First of all, that God took the time when he gave the revelation to John to be that specific.
Yeah.
To, number one, say this mark will be forced.
Yeah.
Okay. And specifically where the mark is going to be.
Yeah.
So we can take comfort in that.
We can
part,
and I think we need to, because there's going to be a lot of people panic. We'll have to cover this again, I guarantee you, more than once on the show, because people are going to be asking, does this mean I'm taking the mark of the beast? I'm not going to tell anybody to take a digital. I'm not going to encourage them to say, yes, go ahead and do that. You're okay.
Yeah.
But here's my gut feeling. Let's say they make somebody's kids in your family take it when they're born, or they start doing this kind of thing where everybody's got to get a shot at birth, because they're talking. I watched a couple of these videos today, Greg, from the ID 2020 conference about this year, and they're talking about wanting to give it to all children so that all of our children are trackable and seeable. And you can imagine if they were to pass some law that, you know, and it became normal where every child born gets a little, you know, mark like the dog, you know, they would give them that chip in their you know, neck or whatever. You could see how that would make us as believers go, wait a minute, that's my grandkid. You just condemn them to hell for eternity.
Right.
And so I don't believe, for that reason, this is the mark. Whatever the mark is going to be, which I believe this is the technology for it, but however that mark's going to manifest itself whenever the Antichrist makes everybody take it, it's going to be something you're going to know. Yeah. You're going to say, I realize I'm choosing to take something here that is going to condemn me, or at least I've been told that it would, and I've got to make a choice.
Okay. Well, a couple of things, because I know you're going to want to talk about the feast, but there's probably not enough time in this first half to do that, so we'll roll that over.
Absolutely. Let's carry it out with this.
This is a good time to talk about two things. First of all, there's already people that have NFC, near-field communication chips, implanted in them that they're using like to buy things from a vending machine and stuff like that. There's clubs. We've covered this over the last few years. We talked about the club in Florida. There's employers up in Wisconsin doing the same thing. You can open up doors with it, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
They're even putting it in their hand, by the way.
Yes, I know.
Some of them,
I know.
Between the thumb and the forefinger.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, because this patent is global, we've got to understand that there's going to be acceptance globally, and there's probably going to be resistance globally, not just here in the U.S. But here's the thing, and we've talked about this before, and this is so important right now, especially if we've got new listeners. Because just like the feast, there's several layers. There's the physical feast, there's the spiritual feast, there's the prophetic feast. There's a physical mark, but God also marks us with a supernatural, a spiritual mark.
That's right.
We give our lives to him.
That's right.
That says we're his, we're his kids. And this is why taking the mark that's depicted, that's shown to us in Revelation, condemns you eternally. Not because you've got a piece of technology in your body. It's what it represents, because Satan is a mocker.
Yep.
He's an imitator.
That's right.
He is going to, he wants to mock and imitate everything that God has done, everything that Jesus has done on earth. And so the only way that he can mock something that he can't do, which is the supernatural mark, is to implant a physical mark. Because with the supernatural mark, and you've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, God now can control, through your submission to him as your Lord and Savior, control you.
Yeah.
Okay? That doesn't mean you still don't have free will, so don't think that you're a robot. You're not. But without getting into all that study, that's essentially what that means from a spiritual context. Satan can't do that supernaturally. He can't control you in that way. So the physical mark is a mocking, it's an imitation of the spiritual mark that you'll take, either in the right hand or the forehead.
Right.
And once you do that, you have basically made your spiritual or eternal, without you even knowing it, allegiance to Satan.
That's
versus
right.
when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you're making your allegiance to Jesus.
Yeah, you know,
and
Greg,
that's the difference.
That's right. And we talked about how everything Jesus has done, we're going to see that not everything, but in most part where he can, the Antichrist is going to try to imitate it, because he wants to take over. He wants to be the Christ. He wants to be the one that the world worships.
Exactly.
Which means, okay, even that you know, they have the Holy Trinity, well, he'll have the unholy Trinity. You know, we have Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's going to have Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. All these things, we could go on, there's a whole study in that. What's interesting about the mark on the hand of the forehead, God, it says, on believers, he marks us, he seals us with the Holy Spirit, as you just said.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's for everybody, but I because of this scripture out of Ezekiel, I believe that probably all of us that are believers, we already have a mark on our forehead. You just can't see it, but it's from God. Satan's just imitating it. Listen to what it says. When God came in to judge Jerusalem in Ezekiel's day, in chapter 9, verse 3, he's letting Ezekiel hear what he's going to do. He's going to judge the unrighteous because of their rebellion, but he's going to protect those who love him. And listen to what it says. Now, the glory of, this is verse 3, the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple, and he called to the man clothed in linen, an angel, who had a writer's inkhorn at his side, and the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of all the men who sigh and cry over the abominations that are done in it. That is, go to the righteous and put a mark on their forehead. Mm. To the others, go in and utterly kill them. Now, what's interesting about that is I believe we all have that mark on our forehead now that God has given us that shows that we belong to him. Satan hates that. So Satan imitating God, he's going to take everybody, he's going to say, I'm God. No, I'll give you a mark. You take a mark on your forehead, you take a mark on your hand, and I believe that the mark, I don't know if it'll come at the beginning of the 7 years or the middle, but I know it will be a statement by him to heaven, I'm God, and I want you to bow down to me, and I believe this is the technology for it, Greg. I think the odds of this being 666 for the patent number, the odds are astronomical. And the timing had to be just perfect for Microsoft to fall there. And I believe that the Lord is showing those who have eyes to see, this is going to be the technology. It's going to lead to something you put in the skin, whether or not you can upgrade the software of the ones that are already in the skin, or whether or not they're going to put another one in. this is the technology that will lead. That sensor will be put in you. It will not be a card you carry like you do in Britain. You will have your digital identifier. You can do everything with it, which is greatly convenient, but it's also going to condemn your soul because you're going to be saying, I pledge my allegiance to this world leader out of Europe who's declaring himself to be God.
Yeah, wow. And I've also thought, too, that maybe the numerical, you know, behind the scenes, like a social security number, will be three groupings of six numbers.
Could be as well. Could be as well.
When you got to cover the whole world, that's a lot of people.
Yes,
so you need
is.
A lot of numbers. Anyway, don't go anywhere. We've got lots more to discuss as Signs of the Times continues. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
WIAMLP
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
It's Crazy Money Day. Are you interested in buying your own parking spot? There's one in San Francisco going for $100,000. Hey, I'm Chuck Bentley with My Money Life from Crown. CBS News reported that the owners of the parking spot moved to New York, and they've tried to sell it for a year. Last year, a spot in Hong Kong went for $969,000. And spots in Manhattan have been offered for $1 million. Now, I'm not judging the owners or buyers of these properties. I just want to look at it from an eternal perspective. In reading Paul's letter to the Romans, you'll find a man who found the keys to the kingdom. He's a man who accepts God as the absolute authority in his life and is willing to surrender everything to serve him, even his own life. Paul said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm going to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two." Paul wanted to be with the Lord, but he knew he had a duty to fulfill in advancing the gospel. Possessions and debt prevent many from freely serving God. We can transfer ownership of it all to Him and dedicate ourselves to being wise stewards. Take a sheet of paper and write down everything that you own or manage. Then, transfer it all to God, sign it, and keep it in a visible place as a reminder that He, in fact, owns everything. Now that you've done this, dedicate yourself to wisely managing what He's given you, even if that includes a parking space. Now, if you want to grow in biblical stewardship, access Crown's practical and powerful online studies and tools. They'll help you on your spiritual and financial journey. You can learn more online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
What has happened over the years, the topic of the Holy Spirit has created sharp divisions and debates in the church. Instead of embracing the Spirit, so many responses range from the absolute strange to the absolute denial and neglect of the Holy Spirit. From barking and yelping to the Spirit doesn't work today. We don't need the Spirit anymore. Only the gifts were for the early church, and neither extreme is acceptable. There is some biblical balance of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that's what we're seeking to find as we study the Scriptures.
For more biblical encouragement to help you grow deeper in your love relationship with Jesus, visit edtaylor.org. Again, that's edtaylor.org. A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor is a presentation of Calvary Aurora.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Signs of the Times for Friday, May 8th, 2020. This is episode 124, and along with Pastor Mark Kirk, I'm Greg Hilt. Thanks for staying with us for the second half of our program. For all things Signs of the Times related, listening to the shows again, reading the articles we discuss, subscribing to podcasts from various sources, or asking Pastor Mark a prophecy question, we encourage you to visit thesigns.org or send us a tweet at prophecyhelp on Twitter. Okay, Pastor Mark, we've got an article out of our America segment we're going to take out of order because this spurred a whole nother real exciting conversation along with what we talked about in the first half hour. This is from Breaking Israel News. Fearing civil war, a prominent New York rabbi suddenly urges American Jews to leave for Israel. Why is Jews leaving for America or leaving America for Israel. Why is that prophetic in general?
Yeah, it's really exciting because, again, God says in the Word, in the last days, he will bring the Jews back to their land, back to the nation of Israel. And so when you see a regathering of the Jews or a great regathering or a pushing back, it just is further signs that God is regathering his people to pour out his spirit on them, even as we talked about in the first half. Remember, God's going to pour his spirit out on the nation of Israel in the last days and complete the 70th week of Daniel we talked about. He owes them 7 years prophetically, so to speak, and he's going to, again, reveal himself to them. A huge portion of Israel will know Jesus as their Messiah. And so them being gathered back, that has to happen first. He brings them back, he pours his spirit out, and revives them physically in the land. Remember Ezekiel 37, it says they're dry bones, but they're back in the land. And the prophet asks, will these dry bones live? And the bones come together, and the bodies are there, but they're not breathing yet. And then we see the breath of life come in all those, the army of Israel that's there. That's when God pours his spirit out on the nation. And so you see them brought back in the land, and then the spirit filling them once again as they come to life prophetically. This is the dry bones are back together. The bodies are now being brought back to the land. We're seeing the regathering of that army, but the breath of life has not yet been breathed in them. They're simply dead spiritually, being gathered back in the land, and when he pours his spirit out, that's when he'll breathe in them and they'll come alive and recognize Jesus as the Messiah. So, why is this prophetic? For a number of reasons. That is because God promised he would bring them back, and even for those who don't come back, God says he will drive them back, and that's exactly where we're watching happen. And this article here, again, I want to read some of this. This is from Brooklyn now. Because of this whole coronavirus, we're seeing another warning from a rabbi, if you want to use coin a phrase, a rabbi, modern-day blowing of a trumpet. But it's a warning. Rabbi Chaim Yahav Frankel, also known as Remover Rebbe, I may be saying that wrong, issued an unequivocal order last week. Look, an unequivocal order. It's for the Orthodox Jew, it's a big deal. For Jews in the diaspora, that means those that are separated around the world, they've been dispersed, diaspora, dispersed around the world, to leave their homes, that is, in New York, and immigrate to Israel before a civil war breaks out in the United States. There's so much here. First of all, he says, I'm watching all this happen. America's going to be a civil war. Whether that's true or not, that's his take. But what's interesting is, he's, because of this, it's forcing him to tell the Jews, you better go back while you can. We made this mistake in Europe, and we waited too long, and we ended up being in the ovens of Hitler. Mm. He said, we're not going to do that again. Rabbi Frankel is an heir of Menachem Mendel of Romanov, who was among the early promoters of the Hasidic movement in Poland. He's been active recently in years on social media, especially with his lectures on YouTube, which are usually on the subject of the coming Messiah. But while on the visit to South America and French Jews who have moved to Florida, Rabbi Frankel was unusually specific about the urgent need to return to Israel, aliyah that is to be allied back and come back now. And I quote, leave while it's possible. Things will get worse and it will be difficult to move from one country to another, the rabbi said. After World War II, the survivors came and asked why the Gedolim and the rabbis did not order European Jews to leave while there was still time to immigrate to Israel or the United States before war broke out, Rabbi Frankel told the audience attending the lecture. Truth be told, the rabbi said, and then some, they begged the Jews to flee the scorched earth, but part of the decree was that the Jews didn't listen. He says, now, today, listen to me well, dear Jews. Whoever can afford to rise and ascend to the Holy Land should go as soon as possible. And this includes large portions of South America and most of Europe. He says that, again, he goes on talking about the U.S. will be dangerous. Everywhere else will be dangerous. We as Jews need to move back. He's sounding the clarion call. And again, this is exciting to me, Greg, because, again, the Jews moving back in large numbers to Israel is a prophecy. They've already started doing it. They started doing it in 48. 49 masses moved back. They've been moving back since then. We're seeing a huge aliyah moving back again this year, they're predicting. And we saw last year a big turnout of them going back. They have to be regathered for God to pour his spirit. This is the Ezekiel 37, the gathering of the bones coming together, the skin coming on the bones, the sinews being added. They're back in the land. And now we'll see the outpouring of the spirit after the rapture of the church. So this is huge in what's happening as this trumpet call of the rabbis going out. But what's cool to me, Greg, and you already know this, we talked about it before the show that I want to share with our listeners. I learned something today. Those of you that are familiar with Amir Safadi, he's a saved Jew that lives in Israel and has an Israeli perspective, plus growing up Jewish, a perspective that is just amazing. What an advantage to be able to see it from his viewpoint, to know the history, to know what's going on in Israel, to be there. He shared something today that I'd never heard before, and I didn't realize that I've always known there was the house of the trumpets, or the place of the blowing of trumpets on the Temple Mount. It's what we also call the pinnacle. In Jesus' day, they called it that, and it's where Satan tempted Jesus to jump off and float down, and everyone will recognize you're the Messiah, and they'll follow you, whatever. It was a spot where the rabbis on feast times and at different times would stand there and blow the trumpets. Hey, it's time to celebrate. This is the feast we're about to do. This is what it means. And everybody knew what the trumpet blast meant. Now, what's exciting about this is that every Sabbath, before the Sabbath began, they had a series of seven trumpets of gathering the people. The first trumpet would say it was to those that were in the farthest place that could hear the trumpet. It was the rabbi giving a warning saying, hey, if you don't start heading to the temple now, you won't get here in time for the Sabbath. Start traveling now, because you couldn't travel but a certain distance on the Sabbath. So the first blast would go out to regather Jews to come back into the Jerusalem and into the temple to worship. Then the second trumpet would be a little bit later, and that was to regather those that were about midway, you know, a little bit closer, but they would know, hey, they knew by their location, that second trumpet, that's for me, he's watching the sky, and they would go by when the stars could appear, when the Sabbath began. So then they would start their journey. Then he would blow another one for those that were outside of the city, outside the gate, and they would start coming in when it got closer for them to gather, so they would have time. Then those within the gate, there'd be another trumpet, and that's time for you to start heading up. Then they would blow another trumpet, the fifth trumpet, hey, it's time for those of you in the city to gather up to the Temple Mount. And then on the seventh trumpet was, when everybody was there, they would blow the final trumpet, and that was the beginning of the Sabbath and the gathering into the temple that God had gathered them to now worship the Lord and bring him glory, so to speak.
And that sixth trumpet was in the outer courts,
yes,
right?
Yes, and the seventh was, okay, now we're all here and it's begun. What's interesting about that, Greg, and there's a lot more to this, I'll be kind of investigating over the next few weeks and maybe have more information for you later. Some of you guys will get some insight and probably let me know some things. But what's cool about this is each of those trumpets was a clarion call to gather more of the Jews back to the house of worship, to gather them back so that God could begin that celebration of worship of him and them together as a family. And, you know, these gatherings have been happening since 1948. It's almost as if God is sounding these trumpets and Jews are gathering back to Israel in large clumps. And I believe, again, if indeed God is using that symbolically, if indeed he is, I believe this may very well be another trumpet, another clarion call saying, guys, it's time to go back. Because listen, if you leave, imagine living in New York, you've got a business, you've got your home, you've got your family,
you grew
you've got
up there.
Everything's there. And all of a sudden, a rabbi that you respect and you're an Orthodox Jew says, I'm giving you a warning. You would believe that's from God because you see him as God's representative. You've got to make a big decision. You've got to leave your business. You've got to leave everything behind, all your friends, all your connections, and go start a brand new life in Israel. It would take a figure like that to get someone's attention in the Jewish community to make that move. But Greg, if they do, and we're going to watch and see what happens, if there's a major, major movement from New York into Israel from this, this may very well be, again, in a symbolic way, just like those trumpets that were gathering the Jews back to the land so that the Lord can, again, sound the seventh trumpet or sound the trumpet for the church again to be taken up in the rapture, which might very well be kind of that sixth or seventh trumpet for the Jews coming back as God finishes his promises to them. And then God pouring out his spirit on the Jews and on the nation to begin this final 7-year process where we come back and join with those who have been saved and are believers. And Jesus starts the 1,000-year reign there in Israel. And so it's just exciting to watch these massive regathering groups. You know, they're always going back every year. But if this happens, this could be a major, major regathering out of, again, the Jewish population. By world population, the largest area, if I'm not mistaken, is New York City, where the most of the Jews are. And they'd be leaving. That's the largest population of Jews. They're going to be moving if they respond to this call. And look at the persecution they're facing. So there's other factors forcing them back to the land. Who wants to live being persecuted all the time? Let's go back to my people where I'm not going to be persecuted. And so they're being driven back to the land. Yeah. I believe it's a major sign of the last days.
Well, you know what? Here's what's sad. Outside of the 144,000 that after the rapture will awaken to the fact
yes.
that they missed their Messiah.
Yes.
The Jews that are making that aliyah aren't escaping persecution. they're running into what's going to be the greatest persecution that's ever been seen on the face of the earth, per the Bible, not not per us, but per the Bible. Sans the 144,000, the rest of them that are there. Think they're coming back and, you know, worshiping. No, they're going to be worshiping the false Christ.
You know, and Greg, let's just, you know, maybe we kind of walk our listeners through, because, you know, you want to kind of, you brought up a good point, a good refresher course on the feast, but also that might lead right into just really what's going to happen, because you made a great point right there. They are running to a place of safety, but little do they know they're
temporarily.
And they're being gathered, though, to a boiling pot.
Yes.
Where they're going to be, there's going to be the greatest persecution on the Jews in world history. You think Hitler was bad. You know, the Bible says this will be way worse. It'll be the worst time in Jewish history. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble, and he's going to kill millions of Jews. However, there will also be millions that are getting saved. So they're going to be with us in the kingdom of God, although they'll die in brutal ways. They'll be with us in the kingdom of God. There'll be some that probably make it all the way through to the end, even as Gentiles that do. Remember, there's going to be a portion of them run down to Petra,
they'll be
preserved in Petra, if you will. But again, how's this all going to play out and what's going to happen? Here's what the Bible says. This is just really cool. Let's just take the time to kind of just
have
almost Bible story time here this last 15 minutes.
Let me pull up the chair.
Here's what happens. Okay, the Bible says that the rapture, the trumpet will sound, and we will go up to meet the Lord in the air. And again, remember, the rapture is very distinct from the second coming. In the second coming, it says we are already with the Lord. He will come with the church down to the earth. In the rapture, it says he comes in the clouds, and he's there by himself, and we go up to meet him. So we go up to meet the Lord, and we will have 7 years of a feast, a wedding supper of the Lamb, while all this final 7 years on the earth, the great tribulation, dealing with Israel, the outpouring on the Jews, all that takes place. Now, when that happens, this is really cool. The Bible says the two witnesses will show up. Now, remember, who are the two witnesses? We don't know. Many believe, and I stand with them, that it's Moses and Elijah. There's a number of reasons for that. Even when you see Jesus with Moses and Elijah talking with them there on the Mount of Transfiguration, it says they're talking about, you know, the last days.
Peter freaks out.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking. So, I mean, there's a lot of indicators that look like it's Moses and Elijah. Now, what makes this really cool is they go back to the land. These two witnesses are going to show up. Where are they going to come from? Now, remember, when Moses died, he died there in the Jordan region near Mount Nebo and Pisgah, not Mount Nebo, I'm sorry, Pisgah, and that area over there in Jordan. Mount Nebo is up in Israel, further up. This, the Pisgah area, right there in Jordan, right across near the Dead Sea, but across on the other side. And it says God buried him.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yes. And then it says Satan tried to get his body.
Yes.
And Michael guarded it, wouldn't let Satan get it. Why? Because, again, if Satan had entered that dead body and resurrected, he would have walked back in with even more authority, and he could have changed everything God said. It would have just to see. So God didn't allow that to happen. Yeah. But then, Greg, later on, we see Elijah. Remember, Moses and Elijah are the two that most scholars believe are going to be the two witnesses there after we're raptured. Elijah is taken up in a chariot. Now, remember, when Elijah was taken up in a chariot, his body wasn't taken, just his spirit. Now, his whole body went up. But the body couldn't enter into paradise, right? So his body was up in the air, and that's why the guys that were talking to Elisha were saying, let us go try to find the body, because they wanted to give a proper burial, because they had this picture of him there just kind of falling, and hitting the ground, thumping the animals, eating and all this. Well, first of all, God wouldn't let that happen, because God honors the bodies of the righteous. Even their bodies, he
honors
them.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, because he says, the unrighteous, I'll throw in the field, and even the wild animals can have them, but he honors the body of the righteous, a proper burial, et cetera. God, and even built that into the Jewish system.
Yeah.
So if God honors the even the bodies of the righteous, what happened? They never found his body. So what happened to Elijah's body? You know, you never hear much about that. And I was reading through that passage recently and going, okay, Elijah's body, God no doubt took his body. When his spirit left, he probably cupped it, took it. And he probably, it would appear, since God buries everyone and honors them, God buried Elijah's body. It would appear as well. He wouldn't just let him fall and flop to the ground and say, have at it, wild animals. God buried him because nobody else did. And I know that God honored Elijah. So Elijah gets buried by the Lord as well, it would appear. I think we can make a very accurate, biblical, educated prediction, as they say. Anyway,
okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Here's what I never noticed. You know where Elijah went up? Right in the same area where Moses was buried.
Wow.
So here's what you've got. Right there in that same spot, that same area.
Yeah.
Somewhere you've got Moses and Elijah.
So together. That's near the Mount of Transfiguration, I bet.
No, it's further down from Jordan.
Okay.
Yeah, remember,
okay.
he let Moses. Moses didn't get to enter into the land.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you're right. You're right. Okay, my bad.
So anyway, so there they are, both buried right there. Now, if it is, that just to me is further evidence that it's Moses and Elijah. And if it is, that means that God had to preserve their bodies. So this is really cool. What that means is, if we could find them, but we can't, there are probably caves over there right there where their full bodies are there preserved. You could go today, land
if
a plane, take a camel in, and go see Moses and Elijah in person lying there. Their bodies are there, probably still wearing the same clothes they wore, but God has hidden them so you can't find them. Now, think about that for a minute. Let that sink in. This is why I think these are the two witnesses. God put them right there together. Now, so Israel's back in the land. The rapture takes place. It is right then that the two witnesses go into Jerusalem. That means these two guys, their spirits are going to enter back into those bodies that God has supernaturally preserved. They're going to sit up in those caves. They're going to walk out that door with beard. Elijah's still going to have that thing wrapped on him, the same mantle. They're going to wear the same everything. They're going to start walking toward Jerusalem. I bet they gather up together and split the water at the Jordan. They both have split water before. The Red Sea for Moses and the Jordan for Elijah. I'm not joking.
Yeah, I know.
I believe the water will split. I believe they'll walk across. I think that the Israel is going to see them and freak out. I think they're going to go and start prophesying. You're going to see God pour his spirit out. That's why many of them will believe. The Antichrist is going to hate them but not be able to stop them as they witness and they share. For 3.5 years. Then, get this, then he's going to kill them and they'll be called back up to heaven. It says that everyone will see them rise back up to heaven. And something, Greg, this will be right before the Antichrist. He's going to go and declare himself at the 3.5 year point as being God. And how could he show himself God if he's imitating everything Jesus has done? There's a major factor he's going to need. He needs a death and resurrection.
Mm.
And it tells us that something's going to happen to the Antichrist that will blind his right eye and his right arm will become limp. Now, whether or not that's a bullet to the head that affects part of the brain.
Assassination attempt.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I say attempt. Here's what I believe. I think he'll be killed. I think the Antichrist will die at that moment. Here's why I believe that. I think at that point, the Bible tells us at some point, Satan will enter the body of the Antichrist.
Which is what he wanted to do with Moses.
Yes. Now you see the connection.
Yes.
He tried with Moses and God said, no, I believe the Antichrist is literally going to get killed and everybody will know he's dead because this makes it more dramatic. For 3 days, I believe they'll view him. They'll know he died. Everybody's going to be, our world
right.
leader
yeah,
died.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Satan will enter his body, I believe, stand up and freak everyone out. At that point, he goes out of the Temple Mount and says,
yeah,
I'm God. Two of us have resurrected.
Yeah.
Jesus resurrected. Now I have. See the imitator, the great imitator?
Yes.
And now tell me the world's not going to believe. When they see this guy dead, resurrect and stand and say he's God, they're going to bow down, they're going to believe, and then begins the great tribulation, that final 3.5 years, and it's going to be unbelievable. And then at the end of that is when we come back with the Lord, Jesus establishes his throne, and we rule and reign with him for 1,000 years.
Now the Bible tells us that when Jesus resurrected, before he ascended,
yes,
there was a number of witnesses
yes.
that were a witness to his resurrection.
Oh,
and
yeah.
there was a number to
over
it, right?
500, over okay. 500 at one time.
Okay. My guess is, based on everything that we've just talked about,
yeah.
there will be the same number
Maybe.
Of witnesses to the death of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
there were witnesses to Jesus' resurrection.
I think it'll be verified. It may very well be, Greg. We'll see, but you're right. I mean, I think it'll be verified for sure. He's mocking everything.
So when he resurrects, you've got the same amount of witnesses, you know, just the mocking,
right.
saying, no, you don't understand. This guy was dead.
Now, when you don't know the Bible, tell me, if you don't see a man who's dead for 3 days,
yeah.
being observed,
oh,
you don't tell me if he gets up. Don't tell me you're not going to believe something just happened supernatural. This is something to do with God. That's how he's going to deceive
yeah.
the world. And they're going to bow down to him, Greg.
Amazing.
They're going to bow down to him. And again, we're right on the cusp of it. And it says that might be the point he makes everyone take a mark. It might be the beginning of the 7 years. We don't know when that mark is made to be taken. But people are going to go along with it. And again, those who don't go along with it are going to be put to death, it says, but they'll preserve their soul.
You know, Moses and Elijah showing up on the scene is going to be the ultimate museum tour, because not only would God have to preserve their bodies as if they had never died.
Right.
But their clothing
Absolutely.
And all the articles with them
Absolutely.
Are going to be as if they were just
Greg,
made.
I believe Moses will have the same burial clothes
Amazing.
On, the same clothes. I think
Amazing.
Elijah will be wearing his sackcloth with this wrap on him. You know, he had the sackcloth with
yeah.
the and the beard. It's
I can't
them.
Get Charlton Heston out of my picture. But
I just, again,
anyway.
For me, again, you know that whole thing I talked about, I think a great beginning to a movie, you know, would be kind of, all you see is from the inside of a cave, you see these stones
yes.
push back. And these figures with a shadow stand up and they start walking out and they see each other because they're nearby somewhere.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
They come together. They go to the Jordan. You see the Jordan split. They walk across. And then this thing kind of maybe fades out to some other scene. That's the beginning of the movie. and they head into, that's going to happen. They will literally go to Jerusalem and be witnesses. Listen, we have so much excitement ahead for us. It is astounding. But what a day this is today, Greg. I believe for those who have eyes to see, like I said, Bill Gates is not the Antichrist. It's going to be a guy coming out of Europe. But I believe that Bill Gates has now patented the technology for the Antichrist.
Or at least those people listed there on the patent.
Yeah, well, I guess I should
whoever.
Say because
yeah.
he's...
But Microsoft,
yeah,
I know.
Right.
But
he's not even the
but he's
CEO
still
anymore.
He's still behind the
but
scenes
he's
pushing.
The one pushed
yes.
it, and it was his money and his vision that did this.
Yes.
So anyway.
Yes.
It's in place. I believe that right now, because of everything we're seeing, the Antichrist is alive. I believe he's alive. I believe he's some really sharp 20-something-year-old guy. Probably early 20s, maybe mid-20s, because I believe that we're that close, and maybe it may be later, because I believe when he takes over, I believe he's going to be 30 years old. And the reason I say that, the great imitator, Jesus,
yes.
came into his ministry at 30. I think you're going to see the Antichrist come in. And again, many scholars believe that Jesus' ministry went 3.5 years, and because of what I know and the way this works, I probably believe that was right, because we're going to see this broken up in 3.5-year segments with the Antichrist. I think he's going to do this kind of ministry thing, if you will, for 3.5 years, where the world's going to believe and see all this resurrection, all this, and then of course the great tribulation, where it's just every man for himself, and they'll be battling, even people challenging him from all over the world. There's going to end into the battle of, you know, yeah. Armageddon down to Israel and the whole thing. We're on the cusp of it, Greg. I believe that,
which is amazing when you think about it, because again, we talked about this before. He is imitating the Lord's ministry of 3.5 years, and then the Lord was crucified and resurrected.
Yeah.
3.5 years of his worldwide domination.
Yep.
Then
he dies.
And
if
then,
he dies, again, I'm not saying for sure, but I think he will.
If he dies, and now inhabited, that last 3.5 years is literally an earthly battle,
yeah.
or an earthly judgment of God against Satan and those that have aligned themselves with Satan, meaning that they've rejected Jesus for that last
yeah.
3.5 years.
Think about it, Greg. That brings up a great point. I want to emphasize what you just said. Why would God pour his wrath out at that moment? This is the biggest insult the world could give God in heaven. You just had a person imitate Christ by dying. He didn't really resurrect, but Satan took his body and brought him back up. Either they think he did or he literally does. Time will tell. I think it'll be literal because I think that's when Satan enters his body. He doesn't have to die for Satan to enter him, but at the same time, I think it will. But think about it. He'll stand up and say, I'm God.
Now worship me.
And the world will bow down.
Yes.
And God says, enough.
Enough. That's it.
And now the great tribulation begins. That you could give no greater insult to heaven. We're dealing with it. And we have 3.5 years of dealing with it. Jews that are getting saved, 144,000, all this stuff happening. I mean, I want to encourage you guys. We only have a little bit of time left. More than ever, we need to be sharing the hope of Jesus Christ. And I want to take this moment again just to say, look, everything the Bible said is happening is not just something we're telling is going to happen. You're in it. I believe the time of the sorrows has begun from Matthew 24, verse 8. It has begun. I believe coronavirus was a major kick in of it. And you're going to see this go and go and go. Here's the question. Do you know where you're going to go when you die? Listen, hear me out on this. Don't just hear this like you do the preacher, the end of the service,
or
on
the televangelist.
Radio. I want you to really get your attention, like the kid that grabs his mom's face and turns it to him when she won't pay attention. Listen to me. It has begun. We want you with us. And if you don't make up your mind and make a decision, and you miss this, if you miss the rapture, because God's going to take his followers out of here. We're going to watch all this from heaven. If you miss it, and you're here when the Antichrist comes on, if you don't take that mark, and you can't take it because you're going to be eternally condemned if you do, you're going to be trying to find food. You won't be able to buy or sell. You're going to be in the run from the government authorities. Your life's going to be controlled. This is a tiny taste of what we saw here with Corona. You have an escape right now. This is your moment. You can't escape, but what do you have to do? It's like the Jews getting out of Europe if they'd have gotten out soon enough. Here's your escape. You've got to believe that Jesus can rescue you. You've got to believe he died for you, that he died for you on the cross, that his sins will forgive you. You've got to confess your sin. You've got to ask him to forgive you of your sin. You've got to repent and turn from your sin. You've got to receive him as Lord. Give your life to him. And here's what the Bible says. You're going to miss all this. I'm not saying we won't go into some of the troubled waters here at the very beginning, because we may. We already have.
Yes.
So I'm not saying there won't be any troubles. I'm saying you will not go into the great tribulation. You will avoid this horror that's going to be taking place on the planet very soon, and you will be with us feasting in heaven with Jesus Christ and the believers. We want you to join us. Pray that prayer right now. Ask Jesus to come into your heart, to be your Lord, to be your Savior. Confess your sin. Repent of your sin. Get plugged into a fellowship. If you're not in a church, I want to invite you to Calvary Chapel right here on John Sevier Highway. But it doesn't matter where you go. Get plugged into a Bible-teaching church and begin to grow. And you know what? You'll be ready to go.
Receive Jesus and then receive his mark.
That's right.
Instead.
That's right.
Wow, Pastor Mark, thank you. Folks, don't forget thesigns.org. We had articles, actually, other articles
maybe
today.
Maybe next week.
We didn't get to, but that's okay. That's why we always put them on the website so you can read these things. We don't make this stuff up. God's word is true, and the world's news is just confirming it. So have a great weekend, and make sure to come back next Friday at 1:30 as we discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's word as signs of the times.